Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in, to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. If you'd like to check in with us, phone lines and Adams Co. Roofing text line are open, and we'd love for you to check in and join the program. Texter gets in. Peanut, he says, that noon Western kick does take some juice out, but that might affect the Ohio State team more. Yeah, potentially. I'm still trying to figure out how to accurately gauge the cross-country travel that we're seeing, right? Because this is a new concept. We haven't seen an extensive history of these type of games on such a frequent basis, right? Where you're flying one on one side of the country, you're coming back to the other side of the country, and I'm still just in the evaluation standpoint when it comes to that. So maybe it does affect Ohio State a little bit more. I don't know, though, John. That's something I've struggled with because we've seen kind of flip-flop results. Some programs handle it really well, and then you have your Mick Cronins of the world with UCLA basketball who complain about it every single time they get a chance to. So I don't know how to accurately gauge the cross-country element until we get a couple more seasons of data points.
That's what the money's for.
Yeah.
You know what would help Lincoln Riley's case is if he could find 11 other teams in the Pacific time zone and form a conference out there. If we could have 12 teams on the West Coast form their own conference, then you wouldn't have to worry about playing local time at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m.
100%.
But you joined a conference that's two time zones away from you. Okay, that's on you, man. Not Lincoln Riley directly, obviously, but like at Southern Cal, an institution. Like, no, man, y'all took the money. You blew up the Pac-12. You destroyed the West Coast Conference.
Destroyed the Mountain West too.
Like, right. Like, don't sit here and complain about it. You got your money. You got what you wanted out of this. You're the one who chose to play in a conference with teams in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and New Jersey. That's on you, man. Not me.
Agreed. Texter gets in. It says, "Way, way, way! I make millions and I have to adjust." Yeah, that's kind of.
I know it's ridiculous.
That's where I'm at on it too. Like, what's Lincoln's salary?
It's private institution. You don't know, but it's massive.
Yeah, dang.
It's in the camp of Kirby and Dabo in the top of the sport.
Reportedly being used loosely here, over $10 million with the base compensation, and if you account for Cali tax. That's probably upwards of $12 to $13 million just to get him on like a level playing field.
He's doing just fine.
So yeah, Lincoln's got more money than he knows what to do with. Let's get Chuck and Taylor's in here on the phone line, 654 Roar. Chuck, good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call.
Hey, buddy. Thank you, Dashton. Thank you, John. I don't get to call in much. I enjoy your show.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, I've been in our fake capital working down there for a good while. Got to come on to God's country where we live, and I tell you, I'm gonna give y'all Roar of that a boy because I've tried to call in and call these Carolina fans. I've been listening to a radio station down there because can't pick you guys up, but I guess they see my area code, they won't answer my call. You think we're in a panic mode? Those cats are in a panic mode too down there. So hey, just take a chill and we're going to be okay, you know. I just want to let all the Clemson fans know that, hey, we're going to be okay. And if you think we're in the pickle, they're worried to death, you know, about their program also. I was just going to call in and tell them, hey, guys, y'all think y'all worried. Everybody upstate's worried too, you know, either way.
Yeah.
But my question to you guys is this. Fasten and John. Yeah, you know, I've been pulling for Coach B. I got to meet him several times in kind of a personal place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, every Clemson fan is going to pull for Coach B, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I watched that defense is playing with their hair on fire this year. It reminds you of a lot, does it not, John and Fasten? I mean, it just reminds you of a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
With our defense.
Oh, yeah. They're flying to the football. They're fired up. They're celebrating.
What do you think they're going to do the rest of the year? I really hope Mateer comes back. But, man, I was so pulling for them because I watched that defense last week. 9.5 sacks, I think they had. 10.5 in one game. We hadn't seen that in a long time. And,
yeah.
You know, but I admire Dabo. I admire what he does. And, you know, I think it'll all work out in the wash. I've been a fan for 50 years. I've seen Tommy West. I've seen them all. I saw John Montana play at Clemson. Boomer size. I mean, I've been through the good and the bad.
Yeah.
As a fan, you just have to weather the storm, and if you're a fan, you're a fan, you know. But anyway, I don't mean to drag on, but what do you think on the Oklahoma side? And I'll let you guys go, man. It's good to be back in the upstate. That's all I can say.
Well, Chuck, go download the Roar mobile app, and when you're outside of the area, you don't have to listen to the other bad sports talk around there. You can listen to us on the road.
Hey, I'm not that old of a guy, but I'm old enough that I have to depend on my younger guys that work around me to help me do stuff like that, if y'all understand. But, I mean, I know what I mean. I mean, I'm not too good. But I'll get that down the way coming up, man. I appreciate you guys.
That sounds good.
And I appreciate the Roar, man. When you really appreciate something when you go somewhere else and you have to listen to something. Nothing against their program.
Yeah,
but I've tried to call in like 5 times. They don't take callers like you guys do. But anyway, enjoy your show, man, and y'all keep going on. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chuck. Appreciate all the kind words. And yeah, man, that's we're always going to get y'all in on the phone lines. It's more about y'all than it is about us at the end of the day. We're just the two sitting here moderating on a daily basis. So appreciate everybody that's in right now, checking in with the program, wherever you may be checking in. On Oklahoma, before we take Seminole Ted's phone call, I think all indications are extremely positive right now about the recovery timeline for John Mateer. I saw that they've got the surgeon that actually did his surgery went on Sooner Scoop. Like, that is an unbelievable, like, how are they?
They're making hype videos for the surgeon.
Yeah, they're making hype videos.
There was a Oklahoma fan went to the hospital in Los Angeles where the surgery was performed to gift the surgeon an Oklahoma flag.
Yeah, like,
they are so meant to be in the SEC.
We need this team in the playoff.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. That defense is a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, we all know it reminds us of some defenses we used to see here in Tiger Town. To me, those defensive tackles are what makes the whole thing go. And I think they have the best defensive tackle room in the country. Definitely the SEC. Those guys are fantastic. The worry for me with this Oklahoma team is the John Mateer injury. Yes, you have a bye this week. You have Kent State next week. You should be fine there. But then against Texas, I have a lot of worry here. But so let's say they drop the game to Texas with Michael Hawkins Jr. playing quarterback.
Oh, it's going to be versus Hawkins.
Right, it's not going to be great. But let's say he comes back. Mateer comes back the next week at South Carolina. What a lot of people are projecting, that's going to be the return date. If they, in that stretch, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU, very difficult. Let's say they go 4-2. I think they're in. I think they're in the college football playoff. I think a 9-3 Oklahoma, because you have the injury of John Mateer in the Texas game, I think gives you a very solid argument with the committee.
You have a built-in excuse at
Correct.
That point. Yeah.
Correct. And to your point, when we were talking about with Tom the Buckeye, you're in a protected league. Like, you're already going to have things go your way. You have wins over Michigan and Auburn already. And if they rattle off wins against, I'm just going to pick 4 out of the 6 at random, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Missouri, and LSU. All right, put them in.
Yeah.
Put them in. So this team is fantastic, but you cannot, if Mateer takes longer to get back than South Carolina, I don't think they have that much room for error anymore. You've got to get him back for South Carolina and then the back end stretch of the schedule.
Agreed. I really like Mateer, and I tend to agree with John's assessment of the fact that, you know, the at the end of the day, making the playoff, you have to have the narrative with you if you're going to be an at-large team.
Certainly, yes.
And you're set up right now for the narrative. You beat a team that has a recent national championship in a protected league in Michigan. You played Auburn in your opener where there were a lot of eyeballs on your game. You won a close game down the stretch and proved that you were tough, right? And then your quarterback, upon the time of injury, is the Heisman frontrunner. If you don't think you're going to hear that sentence out of somebody's mouth again this season, I'll tell you right now you're wrong, because that will be brought up at the College Football Playoff Committee that Mateer was the frontrunner to win the Heisman. And Oklahoma was 4-0 with all the momentum and juice in the world, and then all of a sudden they had it ripped from them, right? Another element of this is, like, think about the bump they're going to get if they beat Texas with a backup QB. If Michael Hawkins Jr. beats Texas and they win that game, you can go ahead and lock Oklahoma in
as far as I'm concerned. After one of the ugliest Red River games we've ever seen last year when Hawkins played there.
Exactly. So, like, I think on the flip side of the coin here, too, depending on the timeline for the injury and everything related to that, I think things are fine in Norman. And I think that the surgeon did a great job. Obviously, they're rallying around him, as they should. So I'm excited to see what's in store for BV, man. I just love that guy. He's been so good to me personally. He's been so good, you know, to this program with what he's been able to just kind of establish on the defensive side of the ball here, and forever grateful for Brent Venables. Like, Brent Venables, just to give a quick personal story before we take Ted's phone call. Brent Venables gave me an exclusive interview here on The Roar when I was 19. I had a 1 hour a night week show. He had no reason to be doing that as the active head coach at Oklahoma football, right? But I talked to him, we had a great conversation, and he was willing to do it to help me out because he saw that I was young and looking to grow in the industry, and he wanted to throw me a bone. So, like, just things like that, man. Like, we talk a lot about stuff, and I know that people are frustrated with the state of the program and the team, and I think that's warranted, but these guys are all the exact same off the field as they are on the field, man. And it's everything you see on TV is the truth about all these coaches that have come through Clemson. So just always excited to have that in the back pocket for sure. Let's get Seminole Ted in here, 654 Roar. Ted, it's going to be a fun one tonight up in Charlottesville.
It is. Before I get into that, I got a question for John. Are you getting to Atlanta to see Skeens pitch one more time in a Pittsburgh uniform?
Oh, no, not a chance. I'm going to sit on my couch and I'm going to watch college football and NFL football all weekend.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, yeah, we got a big game tonight, but I think this team is focused. Virginia's got a good offense, but I think we're going to turn them over a couple times. We just got so much we can throw at them, and I think if we score 38 points, we win this game. And I think it's going to be something like 38-20. They got a bruising running game, but so do we. They got a passing game, so do we. Yep. I think we have better talent than they do. They have good talent, but I think we have better talent. I think we're better coached. So we're going to come out and lay the wood in Virginia tonight, 38-20, Florida State. Let's go, Noles. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it, Ted. Thanks for getting in. And I think I've got 41-28, so we're kind of on a similar wavelength.
We're going reverse Danny Cannell up here. I like it.
I will say this, the last thing before we take JJ's phone call before a quick break. Florida State UVA got a lot of intrigue for me because of the rivalry matchup we brought up yesterday. And for the life of me, I still have not been able to process that 24 hours later. Why is there a trophy? What? Like, I'm still baffled by that. Florida State hasn't made this road trip in 11 years, and they're just going to take a trophy if they win? What?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been sitting in Charlottesville for a while.
Like, what in the world? Let's get JJ in here, 654 Roar. JJ, good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Wake Georgia Tech game and your thoughts as far as with all the forecasts of thunderstorms and lightning and all this. It looks like it's going to probably be a long delay. Does this actually give Wake Forest the nod for the simple fact they're at home? They have the facilities where they can go back and relax a little while and do what they got to do, whereas Georgia Tech has to sit in a little small dinky locker room.
Yeah, I think it's some element of this to a certain extent, and I think if Wake Forest is going to be able to pull an upset, right, like you're going to have to muddy up the game, you're going to have to turn Haynes King over a couple times with fumbles. I do think Wake Forest has the lines of scrimmage play to compete in this matchup. I think their defensive infrastructure is really, really sound, and they've been good up front on both sides of the ball. But Georgia Tech's a wagon, JJ. Like, it's a really, really good football team that Brent Key's got out in Atlanta. They're really confident in their identity, so maybe there's a weather factor here that ends up benefiting Wake Forest, but I still think Georgia Tech likely takes care of business.
Well, I'm gonna pick Wake Forest 17-14. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think Wake Forest gets a TD off of special teams they've gotten to this year. I just think this is a team that's going to surprise and upset Georgia Tech this weekend, and give me Virginia to upset Florida State. Woo! Also, give me 28-24.
How about that? Some double upsets in ACC action from JJ. JJ, keep calling back in, brother. We appreciate you. Have a good rest of your Friday, and we'll be tuned in for your upset picks, man. I hope you go 2 for 2.
All right. Take it easy.
Of course. Appreciate that from JJ, man. Wake over GT. Ooh, Virginia over Florida State. Man, I like it. He's getting aggressive. I might be the biggest Wake Forest guy that's not an alumni on the east side of the Mississippi right now. I don't know if they're beating Georgia Tech, John. I don't know if they're capable of doing that. I think they're playing the wrong quarterback. I've said that a couple times this season. With Robbie Ashford, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I'm kind of in agreement with Austin here on the text line. I'd love for the ACC to absolutely implode as a Clemson fan.
Oh, listen, you can guarantee, I promise you I'm rooting for 2 losses for everybody under the sun in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And it's not to like to backdoor my way in. No, I just want everybody else to have as bad of a time as I'm having.
Well, heck, I kind of want to backdoor in.
it'd be nice. It'd be nice. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to say no to it.
Wouldn't that be something at this point? That would just be absolutely hammered if that ends up happening. But yeah, GT's at Wake. They're riding the 4-game win streak. It's going to be a good one. Mentioned the weather. We mentioned the lightning. Potential delays. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be muddy. Slip and slide type of turf up there in Winston-Salem. So excited for that one with two teams that really want to ground and pound and run the football. All right, quick break here on the program. We're going to hop back into our Pick'em contest picks on the other side, starting with a couple SEC matchups. LSU headed to Oxford, Auburn headed to College Station. We'll talk those games right after this.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo? We have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
When you're on the water, peace of mind is priceless. Towboat US on Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi offer memberships starting at just $109 a year for freshwater services like towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, soft ungrounding, boat recovery, and more. Visit HartwellLakeServices.com.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local lodge.
At ATV Outfitters, we stock more ATV, UTV, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. We have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand. We pride ourselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Come see us for the items that are readily available to get your vehicle ready for the street, trail, or mud pit. Don't buy elsewhere or we'll both lose money. ATV Outfitters, located at 2485 Rutherford Road, Greenville.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam insulation, the most premium insulation option to insulate your home while also sealing any air leaks. Spray foaming the roof deck of your attic can also get you the opportunity to turn your attic into usable space and is the ultimate pest control solution. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Call Koala Insulation today, 864-867-1779.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Sildana.
Oh, no, I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly.
At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
With 24 monthly bill credits on experience beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99 and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
High school football, college football, and the NFL. We're broadcasting games at all three levels and breaking it all down. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in, everybody. About an hour and a half remaining in the program here on a Friday with Fax and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We're continuing to run through our Pick'em contest and break down more games on the college football and NFL slate this upcoming weekend. John, we're four picks through the way. We got six to go. LSU is on the road in Oxford. We're both on Brian Kelly's Tigers. I don't know how to feel about this one. Again, not super confident here. Going with the defense that I believe has been one of the best, if not the best in the country so far this season. And the LSU Tigers, they've had some really big issues offensively. And a large part of that is Garrett Nussmeier's been dealing with a little bit of a lingering torso injury that apparently is affecting his ability to throw the football. I think LSU's better. I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen at quarterback for Ole Miss. If Chambliss plays with the way that he runs it and Blake Baker's defenses were struggling against the QB run last year, I don't know if I feel good about my LSU pick. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know. I'm not confident at all in this one, but I am on the Tigers.
I'm not confident at all in this one either. I think Ole Miss is playing the better football right now. But the thing with this game is it always gets a little intoxicated. And the team that you always feel is the better one sometimes can screw it up. I think Ole Miss is the better team, but I think they screw it up at home. That's why I took LSU.
Yeah, and it's like also Lane's track record in big games is very so-so. And so-so is probably being too generous to Lane Kiffin. It's been bad.
Right. So I think Ole Miss is playing much better football right now. And I think they should go with Chambliss full-time moving forward. But I just think this is one of those where LSU somehow pulls it off at the end.
Yeah.
And because that secondary is so good at LSU.
That's ridiculous.
Those guys are fantastic. And I do think that they will present a challenge that Ole Miss hasn't seen from Georgia State, Kentucky, Arkansas, or Tulane.
You know, Ole Miss definitely should have won this game last year and just absolutely choked. And I could see something very similar happening again.
That's kind of like, that's kind of what I mean. Like, the team that you feel is better here for some reason in this rivalry, like, just kind of messes it up. Also, I think a lot of people who went to Ole Miss people care way more about this game than LSU does. And that could also come at a disservice to the Rebels.
Do you think it's like going to hype them up too much on it? Like, where they've put too much of a hyperfixation on the opponent, where they come out a little bit timid, maybe an early interception, something along those lines.
Yeah.
I could get down with that for certain. Another one we're on the same side of, where I don't think there's as much intrigue, but it'll still be a fun game. I like Texas A&M a lot in the preseason. I still like what I've seen from Texas A&M. Marcel Reed's taking the next step as a passer. He's still a flawed player to a certain extent, but he's a sophomore. I'm more than willing to give him time. John, you know that's one of my guys in Reed. I love Elko. I love the project here at Texas A&M, and I put my stock in this team in the preseason. I was expecting, admittedly, a little bit more on defense than what we've seen thus far, but maybe Notre Dame's offense is just better than people realize, and maybe Notre Dame is legit on that side of the ball. So I'm willing to give a little bit of grace to Texas A&M from that perspective. I'm really interested to see if their defensive line can game wreck like Oklahoma's did last week, because if these guys are living up to the billing of the recruiting and what we were told about them in the preseason, they should have no issue chucking Auburn's offensive line, you know, to the wayside and getting 5+ sacks, especially at home.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how Auburn responds from last week's game with the officiating and how it went and all the hullabaloo around the end of that game. I think everyone knows I have serious doubts about Hugh Freeze as a football coach and as a program leader. And I wonder, with all the to-do about the officiating, if everything else, if he's had these guys ready and dialed in this week. I also, he's not a unit, he's not a coach that I can trust here in this spot. I think Mike Elko and his staff are better defensive minds than DJ Durkin and the staff that they have at Auburn. I like A&M at home here.
Yeah, I like A&M at home. Texter gets in and says, I was high, or it's Peanut who says, I was high on Auburn being better, but I was high on A&M and think they're a true championship contender. That is true. I like the Texas A&M team a lot. I just want to see the defense live up to the billing. That's my only ask right now from Texas A&M, because even in the first game against UTSA, and I get it, UTSA's got a good offense, you know, McCown's a good quarterback, really good play caller, etc. They put up 24 points, and that was competitive for longer than it should have been. Utah State, not a good football team. They put up 22 on you. And then Notre Dame, you win the game in heroic fashion, you gave up 40. So that's my big, like, I'm with you, Peanut. I like Texas A&M preseason as well. I love Reed. I love Moss. I love the offensive line. I think they are electric. They are such a fun watch. Elko's a defensive guy. Get your defense together. Like, I need to see more. This is a chance to send a message to the rest of the SEC with Mississippi State up next, who you should handle regardless. Go put your foot down.
Well, I don't know about handle regardless. I think we're going to learn a good bit about Mississippi State this weekend when they play Tennessee. Well, how do you feel about Auburn secondary? Do you think they're good?
Mm. Eh. I think they're so-so. Eh. I think it's probably a bottom seven unit in the SEC, bottom 5-7 unit in the SEC. It's not a top half unit in the SEC.
Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion are going to cook on Saturday.
Craver's really freaking good.
Man. Really good. Really good. And 22.1 yards average per catch.
And here's the thing, too.
Insane numbers. And I mean, I know he's got huge breakaway and an 86-yarder that's going to skew a lot of the averages, but those two guys, Craver and Concepcion, are explosive, and I have some doubts about Auburn being able to contain those guys.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is like 22 yards per catch, but less than 10 yards average depth of target for Craver, to just show you that he's literally like a running back when he gets the ball in his hands. Like, he can harm you big time with the ball in his hands. The yak potential with him and Concepcion, that's why you saw Reed have, what, 360-yard passings on only 17 completions against Notre Dame, was because everything's a chunk play and everything's an explosive. And if you give those guys an inch, they can take it to the crib each and every play. I like Texas A&M here for that reason, too. And I think we're going to see some more Marcel Reed deep shots to Craver and Concepcion to try and take the top off this Tiger defense. Do have to give a credit to Auburn, though. They played good football last week, and I felt like there was a chance to win that game. So now it's put up or shut up time, right? Your season's on the line, two games into the SEC. Slate. We saw South Carolina have to face the music last week, and they failed. Let's see what you got, Auburn. Big-time game this weekend. 654 Roar if you want to check in. We're getting 6.5 with Arkansas in our contest against Notre Dame. I'm picking Arkansas to win the game outright. I'm picking Arkansas to win the game outright. I'm low on Notre Dame. I'm low on Notre Dame. And I know that they've played in competitive, close football games. I just don't trust this defense's ability to be able to stop Talen Green. And I think that Talen Green is going to take this as a legacy game. I think this is one of those that they talk about in Fayetteville for a while. Notre Dame coming to town. It's the week off of the Memphis loss, right? Because they somehow were able to melt down and lose that game. And really, just it's been the same thing in both games for Arkansas that they've lost. First to Ole Miss, second to Memphis. It's points. They get out to a lead and they blow the lead. Can we just hold a lead? Like, that's like, hold a lead is my ask for Arkansas this weekend, because I think they're going to have a lead at home with a fired up crowd. Hold the lead. That's my biggest concern.
To your point about a fired up crowd, how many times in history would you guess Notre Dame and Arkansas have played?
Three or four ever, maybe.
You were off by four. It's zero. They have never played.
Are you serious? This is the first time they've ever played?
This is the first time Notre Dame and Arkansas will have ever played. Which is wild to think that it never happened in the 60s or 70s in a bowl game, or with all the history of both of these programs that they've never played each other. It is shocking. I tend to agree with you about the Talen Green aspect here. I think that he, to your point about the legacy game, I think that is very much in play. I think this is something, if Arkansas pulls it off, that's a win that'll be remembered forever, and Bobby Petrino will be furious because that's 1 week further from him obtaining this head coaching position and usurping Sam Pittman. I think there's a, I don't think either defense is very good right now. However, I think Notre Dame's defense has the chance to still be good. I don't think Arkansas's will ever be good this year.
Yeah, man.
So for me, I'm kind of, it's a roll of the dice for sure. I mean, all these are. I'm going to go with what I think is the better coaching staff at Notre Dame, what I think is the better personnel overall, although I think Talen Green's the best football player in this game. I don't know if Arkansas has enough around him, and certainly I don't think they have enough defensively. I think you have one of the best running back combinations in the country at Notre Dame with Love and Price back there. I like Notre Dame here. I think you can run the ball on the road against a bad defense and get a win and get out of there.
And that's Arkansas's biggest weakness as well, as defending the run, because their linebackers are the ones that get picked on. Again, haven't watched every snap, every play of all four games, but with what I've seen thus far, I think the D-line is okay, and I think the linebackers are lost, and that's who got picked on, where Chambliss was having so much success in the run game. In Oxford, they were picking on the linebackers. They were IDing those matchups pre-snap and saying, we're going to go at the same guys each and every time, and we're going to go at them with our legs until they prove they can stop us. I think it's going to be a similar attack with the under-center run game here, as you alluded to, John, using both of those backs to kind of wear down the defense, try and dominate time of possession. I think this is going to look more like a traditional Notre Dame game, or at least I think they want it to look more like a traditional Notre Dame game, right? They want to get back to that identity instead of playing 56-30 shootouts against Purdue. But it'll be interesting, man. I like Arkansas here, so I'm gonna roll with my pick, and I'm really just blindly investing in Talen Green, in all honesty. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. I'm surprised we're on the same side of this one. I thought you were going to pick the other side. Oregon's at Penn State. Oregon's catching 3.5 points on the road, and I'm taking the dogs on the road. I was high on Penn State in the preseason. They haven't even come close to looking the part against inferior competition. And a lot of the issues that Clemson is having right now, Penn State is also having. Let me tell you if this sounds familiar, John, okay? I'm going to run you through what my main issues are right now with this Penn State football team. Offensive line not living up to expectations. Quarterback not living up to expectations. Struggling to get push up front consistently against inferior competition. Defense, good, but definitely some still room to grow. Sound familiar?
All too familiar.
Yeah. So Penn State's been able to get away with it because they've played a bunch of tomato cans on their schedule to date. But like, I was going back and watching the film specifically against like Nevada and FIU. They were not getting a lot of push up front in the run game, which is like appalling to me. Like,
FIU got after Penn State.
Dude.
Willie Simmons.
Yeah.
Darn good Clemson Tiger went up there and they got after Penn State. I mean, they lost 34-0. They didn't have the athletes, but I mean, from a mentality standpoint, they were not afraid of Penn State.
No. So, like, I was expecting a lot more from Singleton. I was expecting a lot more from Allen. This offensive line has not been able to get as consistent push as I would anticipate or hope for. And then on the other side of things, I think I underrated Oregon. I think I underrated Dante Moore, who's playing, like, the best quarterback in the country right now.
Oh, I definitely underrated Dante Moore. I'll happily admit when I'm wrong. He's playing, you know, I talked about yesterday Fernando Mendoza. I think he's someone who will be very highly drafted. I think Dante Moore is proving the recruiting services right when he was a five-star coming out of the state of Michigan, when he ended up at UCLA. There's a lot there with this young man to like. I'm going to back Dan Lanning in a big spot over James Franklin. I just am.
Yeah.
I worry about Penn State here. I think they are going to be almost a little too tight. I think they're going to be a little too nervous because of all the pressure. Everything has led up to this moment. It's the whiteout. Everybody is watching. I worry, is the moment going to be a bit too big for Penn State?
Yeah, and I worry about that as well. And it's also just like, I've asked a lot of people this question about Penn State before we take a quick break. When has Drew Aller had to play well to win his team the football game? And in those games, have they won?
I don't believe they have.
Yeah. Every time, like, seriously, and I'm not trying
I can't remember every Penn State game, like, off the top of my head, but there's nothing that jumps and stands out to me off the top of my head.
I get that the supporting casts have not been great with, like, wide receiver play and stuff along those lines. Every time Drew Aller has had to be a game changer or elevate his supporting cast around him in a big time game, they lose the game. They lost to Notre Dame in large part because of quarterback play, in my opinion. In the Big Ten championship against Oregon last year, it was a little bit of a different story. But at the end of the day, like, they were getting 10 yards a pop on the ground, and Aller threw a pick six and threw two picks in that game. And you lost by 8. So, like, I trust the quarterback more, even going on the road with more. And I also just think I'm to the point where, as long as Will Stein is the offensive coordinator, I don't care who's playing quarterback. I've seen it with enough different jokers at this point to just, like, blind trust that Oregon's offense is going to hum regardless. He resurrected Bo Nix's career and got him drafted in the lottery. He resurrected Dylan Gabriel's career after things were looking shaky his last year at OU. Gabriel lit the world on fire and got drafted in the third round. And now it appears he's got the most, like, physically toolsy guy of the bunch, Dante Moore, who's ripping it up so far. So I just think Stein's one of the best play callers in America, and if he's got the sauce this weekend, watch out in Happy Valley. Could be on upset alert. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. We're talking Bama, Georgia, and Kentucky, South Carolina, and maybe even a little bit of Duke, Syracuse, because Jed's getting in with that on the text line right after this.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments including pills, chews, and more. 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturgis from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Summer is winding down, but not our killer savings for outdoor furniture at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Now is the perfect time to update your outdoor space with patio furniture. Choose from Tapatone, Summer Classics, Hanneman, Lloyd Flanders, Brizesta, and Palm Springs Raton Outdoor Furniture. Hurry! Shop and save now at the Craft Stove Store and Patio, located 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Check us out online at craftstovestore.com.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Don't wait for your HVAC to break down. Keep it running strong with a maintenance plan from Estes Heating and Air. Their expert technicians make sure your system is running efficiently year-round, helping you avoid surprise repairs and high energy bills. With priority service and peace of mind, it's comfort you can count on. Call Estes Heating and Air today or visit estesheatingair.com to schedule your maintenance check today. Estes Heating and Air, your comfort is their priority.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hyde continues here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Hey, folks, it's going to be a great weekend of football. I know Clemson's not playing this weekend, but nothing goes better with football in general than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A at Clemson, Chick-fil-A at Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Trays of nuggets, many strips, and more. Herb, class of 82. Carol, class of 84. Know the importance of football and great food, so get on that Chick-fil-A app or give Chick-fil-A at Clemson a call at 864-654-4655. Or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game. All right, let's hop right back into our pick 'em contest. We're just talking a little bit of Oregon and Penn State. And again, I mean, this is a vibes and a coaching pick for me and a quarterback pick. I think the better quarterback, the better coach, and the better play caller all reside in Eugene. And I get that it's going to be a hostile environment. I get that it's Dante Moore's first big test on the road, right? After, well, I guess the Civil War in Corvallis kind of counts, but that's lopsided nowadays, right? And this is a different beast, and I'm willing to admit that.
That was at home.
Or that was at, they played that one at home?
Their only road trip has been at Northwestern, right.
In
the high school stadium on the lake.
Yeah, gosh. I don't know about that. Man, Preston Stone at Northwestern. Goodness gracious. Give me Oregon. Give me Oregon to win the game. I'm fading Franklin in a big game, and I backed him in a couple big games last year, and it worked a couple times, and it failed me a couple times. I'm going to fade him here, and I'm going to take Dan Lanning. All right. Nick Roby's on an island picking Alabama. It's 11-1 Georgia, and
let's go Georgia fans, 654 roar.
I don't know.
I want to hear from you. I want to hear your confidence, your reasoning, why you think that you are going to finally turn the page against the Crimson Tide. Georgia fans have been awfully quiet this week. Oh, Georgia, Greg, Skip, come on guys, let's go.
Yeah,
I want to hear from the Georgia fans.
I do as well. There's nothing finer in the land. At least that's what we're told every Saturday while we're getting barked at. Kirby Smart's record against Alabama as the Georgia head coach is 1-6. 1-6. Several SEC championship games, the national championship in 2022, which Georgia won for its first national title in 41 years, obviously. But really, in the regular season and on any other stage outside of that national championship game, Kirby's winless. He's winless against those Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, obviously, it's not Nick Saban walking through those doors, but I do express a little bit of caution and worry with that opponent on the other sidelines with Kirby Smart's 1-6 record. Now, if there's anybody that's going to shed a narrative, it's Kirby. And Kirby's a guy I've backed extensively since I got a microphone here because guess what? Georgia's really freaking good every year, and he's a really good coach. The line is a little worrisome to me. I was expecting this to be a 5.5, 6.5-point spread, but Vegas has not completely abandoned ship on this Alabama team, clearly.
Well, the metrics that Vegas uses to set these lines loves Alabama.
Yeah.
Bama is, in a lot of metrics, like the best team in the country right now, or one of them. I think this is all Georgia here. I think that, yes, we talk about the 1-6 record against Alabama. I think a lot of that was Saban. I think last year's game was just weird. I think it was one of the weirder games we had in the country with Georgia Alabama last year.
Yeah, like Beck was a trash can.
It was
in
what,
the first
28
half.
Nothing.
Yeah,
Georgia comes all the way back and then Bama scores late. Like that game was just weird. I think at home, that place is going to be absolutely bananas. I think they're the better football team. And if they can really commit to the running game here, as we saw Florida State attack Alabama at home, I'm running 12 personnel. I'm running the mess out of the football.
Yep.
I do want to see Georgia try to attack the middle of the field just a little bit, because whether that's been by design by Bobo, whether that's what Stockton is comfortable with, they do not want to go over the middle. Everything is to the outside. I would like to see that part of the passing game grow here to not be as predictable against Alabama. And I think they can. I mean, we talked about it yesterday on the show. Mike Bobo's having a good year.
He is. He's calling a great game. Him and Gunnar Stockton are like a match made in heaven. They see each other for some reason. I don't know what it is, but it feels like with Gunnar's skill set and what he does well on the field, Bobo has been able to deploy him in a ton of different positions to succeed, whether that's with his 721 yards through the air and 4 tutties, or whether that's with his 133 yards on the ground with 3 touchdowns. He's been a really, really good and a really, really stable quarterback this year so far for the Bulldogs, and he's not turning the ball over. That's an easy way to win games and win games big. Let's get Skip from Georgia in here. 654 roars the number. Skip, are you feeling confident about this weekend, man? Where's your head at? Talk to me.
Never feel confident when the boogeyman comes to town.
I can't blame you, man. It's been a lopsided Bama rivalry for a while now, but I think you're the better football team this year. In all fairness, though, I think it's also fair to say that there have been multiple times where you've been the better football team and you just haven't won on that specific day, right?
Outside of Indianapolis, I felt like they were the better football team every year. Georgia's played them since COVID.
Yep.
That 20-year when you went over there and played in front of 17 people that were all wearing houndstooth, that was a better football team than Georgia. But since then, I felt like Georgia was always the better team. But to Alabama's credit, they've always showed up. They've played hard. They've played disciplined. And they've always taken it to Georgia. I respect their program. I think Georgia is the better team. I think talent-wise, they're pretty dang even. I think this year, Georgia is a better coached football team than Alabama. I think that that's evident in some of the on-field results as well as some of the penalties and carelessness that Bama's played with. But I do think that Bama's played a lot better since that Florida State game, albeit against lesser competition.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm really excited to see Gunnar playing another big game, right? Because you don't necessarily know what you got until you get the kid in a big moment, and he goes up to Knoxville and just drops a freaking dime with the game on the line, and then he's throwing seeds in overtime as well. He played really good football. I just really enjoy watching him play, and I think him and Bobo are on the same page. Run game's been improved this year with Frazier getting the majority of the work, also using Chauncey Bowens as kind of that RB2, and then you got Dwight Phillips Jr., who's kind of been able to work his way in that backfield. McCray, more of the short distance guy with a couple touchdowns. And then out wide, like, I love Zachariah Branch. This is something that's interesting to me. He has 15 targets this year, and the average depth of target is 0.9 yards. That's not something I love, admittedly, Skip. Like, They need to do a better job of getting Branch. If I have one complaint with the Georgia offense right now, they need to do a better job of getting Branch with some more routes down the field where he can really start to shake some DBs. But I think a large part of like why you're seeing all of these average depth of targets for the most part under 12 yards right now for Georgia is because the offensive line play has been terrible at tackle. Like, Gunner got left to die against Tennessee, man. I don't know how y'all won that football game, but what a hell of a performance from your QB to be able to carry that football team to a win that day in Knoxville.
Well, I think it's the flip of Georgia and Alabama when you look at Georgia and Tennessee. Tennessee should have won that ball game. I think they were the better team that day. But inside of both programs, Georgia doesn't believe that they'll lose to Tennessee, and Tennessee doesn't believe that they can beat Georgia.
Yeah.
The flip of that is, you know, Georgia and Alabama. I think that Georgia is going to have to jump on Bama, punch them in the mouth, and put their foot on their throat to be able to win that ball game, because even though the coaching has changed, a lot of the players inside of that program believe that they will not lose to the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just what it is. And I think there's a huge mental aspect in this game. Georgia should win, but who's to say that they will? You know, as far as Zachariah Branch goes, I completely agree with you. I'd like to see some longer targets for him because he has the ability to stretch the field.
Right.
But you know, outside of the Tennessee game, has Georgia really had to do that? I mean, Gunner threw one down the chimney to Humphreys, you know, on 4th and 6. But outside of that, and you know, to a pass interference play to Colby Young, and then maybe to start the game against Tennessee, they haven't really had to stretch the field. I would like to see that against Alabama. I think that you're right. You know, I think that Bama leaves some large swaths of field open across the middle. And I think that Georgia can take advantage of that. But then also, I don't know that Alabama can defend well outside of the tackle box based on what I've seen. Now, getting Keenan back in the middle, I think, will be a huge boost for them. It'll allow them to do some different things, especially in the front seven. But I think that Georgia can play kind of an old man boring style game of football where you have these long sustained drives and wear them down, and then, you know, get outside the tackle box. For the love of God, just don't let it be Dylan Bell on an end around.
Yeah.
But I think that Georgia matches up well. I think that the Alabama offensive line is absolutely massive and can lean on people, but I don't know that their conditioning is what it should be or what it has been in the past in Tuscaloosa. So we'll see how that goes. It's a very interesting game. I could see it going either way. I don't know that it's a blowout in either direction, but I never feel good picking them against Alabama.
Yeah, and I think that's more than fair, you know, considering what the track record looks like against this opponent historically. And obviously, like, Alabama football is always going to have respect, and they're always going to have clout in relation to, you know, the pedigree that they're bringing with their program to your place. I just think the home crowd, the fact that, you know, and maybe there's not anything to this, but I do think there's something about, you know, last year when Kirby Smart was saying the team plays harder for Gunner, I think that he's a better leader of this team than Carson Beck was, in the same way that I think Carson Beck has become a better leader for Miami, right? Like, I think this was the epitome of a win-win. I think Beck needed to be out of sight, out of mind with a fresh start and supporting cast and just kind of hit the reset button, and he also had some growing up to do. And then Gunner, like, dude grew up on a farm in Georgia. Like, this is like his story that he is living out in real time for his dream. And he plays so, so freaking hard, man. And he's everything a Georgia quarterback should be about. So I'm just excited to watch him get back in action this weekend, Skip. I like your Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a hard-nosed football game, as it always is, against those Crimson Tide. But I think Kirby gets his first regular season win over Alabama this year.
I would agree with you. I'm going to 31-27 Georgia with a late defensive stand.
I like that. I like that. Well, Skip, have a good rest of your day. You know, safe travels tomorrow, and enjoy the game, man. Excited for it.
We'll be there bright and early. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Skip. 654 Roar is the number. We got Old School on the phone lines. Old School, hold on for me, because I don't want to cut you off after 60 seconds. That wouldn't be fair. We can get you in on the other side of a quick break if you're game to hang around. But anything to add to Skip's phone call? I think we're all kind of aligned here. Like, we don't have an immense amount of confidence, but I do think George is better.
I do think they're better. I still have questions about both of these teams, but I do think that they are better. And I just think at home, with everybody barking behind them,
yep.
I think from a game script standpoint, I agree with Skip wholeheartedly. I think this is very close where Georgia gets a big stop late. I don't know if Ty Simpson, with less than 4 minutes to go on the clock, can go 70 for a score here. I have some I have some doubts.
I'm interested to see Simpson because I was pretty low on him preseason, and I think he's kind of shut me up these last couple weeks, but again, like competition.
But he has been playing fantastic.
Yes, he's been playing
well. He was not the reason that Alabama lost to Florida State.
Oh, no. Their trenches got beat by Florida State. Florida State won up front. That's why they won the football game, was they got Tommy C running early, and it was out of sight, out of mind after that. They got the play action going. Then he took a couple shots over the top to Squirrel White, and that was that. So definitely a lot of intrigue here. All right, quick break. We're going to talk some more UGA-Bama with Old School on the phone lines on the other side. Final hour up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 50.